Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others. If you weren't in here when we began, my name is Tim Barton. I'm the lead pastor here. And I did just want to pause and say thank you to Jeff. Thank you to Ben. Ben's coming from our, just wave real quick, Ben. Yeah, or just stand there. Ben's coming from our sister church, Grace Community Church. Scott Bull planted that church from here many years ago. And just say thank you, Ben, for being here with Refresh, but also helping lead us this morning. Jeff, Isaac, thank you. Patrick. As we come back to our series on the kingdom of God today, I want to just start by asking you this question. Have you ever been told by someone, maybe a spouse, kids maybe, or teenagers, maybe it was a parent said this, or maybe you've said this to a parent. I know my kids have said this to me before. But have you ever heard someone look to you and say, I told you that? And your response back to them, you at least think it, maybe you even say it out loud. Sometimes you may even be really adamant about it. You say, you didn't tell me that. We've got one honest person here. The rest of you are laughing, so I know you've experienced this too, right? You know, unfortunately, maybe you've seen, well, maybe not unfortunately, maybe you've seen the commercial where two people are having a discussion. They're like, no, I told you that, or you did do that. And then the guy, they call for a video review in their lives, and the guy comes up with the video review, and they watch it together. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. Yes, you were right. I was wrong. Well, unfortunately, often the same thing plays out. I hope less now than it used to, but it does play out in our marriage. Sometimes Carrie Ann will say to me, I told you that, and I'm like, nuh-uh. No, you didn't, right? I didn't hear that. Maybe I didn't hear it for multiple reasons. What are some of the reasons you don't hear things? We don't hear things. I'm going to come back to that one in just a minute. Sometimes we don't hear things because, as my kids tell me, I'm getting old and I just don't hear them. There is legitimacy to that sometimes, right? Sometimes we don't hear things because, they might not have said it, probably not often. Sometimes it's because I'm distracted and I'm just not really listening, right, that I don't hear things. Or at least I'm not absorbing the information. Or maybe sometimes, as others so aptly said, sometimes I just don't want to hear it. It may be what I need to hear, but I just don't want to hear it. Now, why do I use that today? Why do I start with that today? Well, it's not because I'm getting ready to preach a sermon on better listening. We all do need to be better at listening. We do need to be more intentional in listening to one another, to our spouses, to our children, all those things, to our parents. But that's not why I'm using that this morning. I'm using that because there are all sorts of reasons, from a human perspective, that we might not hear God. All sorts of reasons from a human perspective that we might not hear God, that we might not believe or really take to heart His message to us. And so as we continue in our series, The Kingdom of God, we're looking at Matthew 13. And in Matthew 13, He's using parables to describe what the kingdom of God's like. Now in a few weeks, we're going to talk more specifically about what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God, going back to Matthew 5. But right now, Jesus is showing what His kingdom is like and who will be in it and who won't be. And so today, as we look at this, we're going to see that as Jesus explains to His disciples why He's teaching the way He is and using parables, we're going to see that the truth of God's kingdom will humble us. The truth of God's kingdom will humble us. You know, when I say that, maybe somebody in here right now thinks, well, not me. It's not going to humble me. But I'm going to tell you that what God's word tells us is that when God's word is preached or taught or we read it, it's going to humble us. You cannot remain neutral to God's word. You may think you are, but you cannot remain neutral to God's word. And it's going to humble us in one of two ways. But let's look first at his word, Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 10. I remind you that this is God's word. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive.' For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their eyes they can hardly, with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." So again, the truth of God's kingdom will humble us. And before I go on, let me remind you of our working definition of God's kingdom that I shared last week, and I'll keep doing so. But the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that is seen with the realization of God's rule and the submission to God's reign in the hearts and lives of his people. What that means, if you don't remember from last week or you didn't hear it, God's kingdom is not a country, it is not a place, it is not a location. It comes to us through Jesus. God promised this kingdom to all in the Old Testament who would walk by grace through faith, looking forward to the Messiah, Jesus. And Jesus came, and with him the kingdom of God was inaugurated. That means it was made a reality on earth. And so it is at hand. That's what John the Baptist tells us. It is now. It is not fully recognized on this earth yet. It's obscured, but still, it is now. And just to remind you of the illustration we used, think of an overcast day. You can't see the sun at all. Is the sun still there? The sun's still there. You can't see it. That is what God's kingdom is like. God's kingdom is there. It's here. It's now. We can't always see it because it's obscured by the different things, the brokenness in this world, sin, etc. We can't always see it, but sometimes we see the ray of light shining through the clouds. Other times we see a bigger ray shining through. One day, all those clouds will be removed. So to speak, all those things that obscure it when Jesus returns, and we are going to see it in its full glory, this kingdom of God. So I share that to say, again, it is now. And the truth of this kingdom, the truth of his kingdom now, will humble us. So there's two groups here. Some will be humbled because they continue to resist. We see this as Jesus makes this contrast between the disciples and the crowds, that some are going to continue to resist. And what Jesus does is say that the parables demonstrate two things and where we see this resistance. First, the parables demonstrate unbelieving hearts. The disciples in verse 10 said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answers them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And so what these verses are saying is the disciples say, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" These verses are telling us that the secrets of the kingdom, by God's mercy, by God's grace, have been given to some. Let me just dispel this notion that the secrets are something that if you are a follower of Jesus, you're still hoping you might find one day. The secrets of the kingdom, what he means by that is the message of the gospel, the truth of God's word, that is the secret of the kingdom, right? There's not some new, greater secret knowledge that we don't have yet. We have the secrets of the kingdom in his word, right? The secret of the kingdom is the gospel message. And so if you believe that in faith, you are a follower of Jesus, you have those secrets. And that's what Jesus is telling the disciples. But he says the secrets have not been given to all here. Not everyone receives the grace of God to believe. Everyone can hear the words, but not everyone receives the grace of God to believe. Not everyone receives the gift of the Spirit to open their hearts and eyes and ears. And so what the parables do in that case is they reveal a hardness of heart. They reveal an unbelieving heart. They show the condition of our heart and how they show what our how we would all naturally respond to Jesus and the message of salvation and hope. That's what the parables do. And they don't even only they don't only reveal our hearts, they also conceal the truth. And this is the hard part of what Jesus says here. That things are hidden from unbelieving eyes and hard hearts by the parables. The parables are simple. Do y'all remember the one? So this comes right in the middle of the parable of the sower and then the explanation of the parable of the sower that we met last or talked about last week. If you weren't with us, it's real simple. All of us can think this way. You go out and you decide you're going to sow grass at your house. Some of you have great yards. Let's assume we have dirt in our yards in some spots, right? And we're going to go out and sow grass. Some of the soil's ready, some of it's not. But you just go out and you throw seed, right? Some of that seed is going to grow. Some of it's not based on the soil. That is a pretty simple thing that we understand, even just thinking about sowing grass in our yard. But the spiritual truth behind that can be hard for us to grasp. It can be hard for us to understand. In fact, impossible without God working in our hearts and lives. The things of the gospel, the things of the kingdom are plain and simple, the spiritual things to those who believe. But they're mind-boggling for those who don't. If your heart is hard, you come to the parables, you come to the stories of the gospel, you come to the God's word. You say, I don't get it. Or even worse, I'm not talking about an intellectual assent. Even worse, you say, I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't matter to me. I hear what you're saying, but I don't care. Maybe even I think it's dumb. Parables also show that some will reject the truth. Verses 13 to 15. Let me read that again, because I want to talk about it in a minute. But let me read it again. This is why I speak to them in parables, Jesus said, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their hearts, or hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Maybe you remember the passage that Isaiah is quoting here, or that Jesus is quoting here. It's from Isaiah 6. Do you remember what happens in Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8, right before this? It's where the song Holy, Holy, Holy comes from. Isaiah is before God, right? Says he sees him sitting on the throne. And as he's sitting on the throne, the seraphim with all sorts of wings and things, and it's like this crazy picture as you read it, that he's standing there at the throne. And what happens to Isaiah when he sees that? Do you remember? He is overwhelmed. Because when faced with who God is, he says, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. And the angel says, your guilt, he takes the burning coal from the fire. He comes, he puts it on Isaiah's lips, and he says, your guilt of sin has been taken. Your sin has been atoned for. Your sins have been redeemed. When that happens, Isaiah's fired up. Right? When he sees this, he's excited. He's passionate about the Lord. And the Lord says, hey, there's all these other people that need to hear. Who will go and tell them? And Isaiah says, you remember what he says? Here am I, send me. And we will proclaim that, we will talk about that, and we want to stop right there. We don't want to go to what's next. Here I am, send me. That is a great missions verse. That is a mission. As you walk out of here from the church, here I am, send me. Let me go minister and care for others. And that is true and that is good. But I want you to see what's next, because it's what Jesus quotes here. What Jesus quotes here, after Isaiah gets excited, the Lord says, okay, I'll send you, Isaiah. I'm going to paraphrase. I'll send you, Isaiah. And when you preach, the people aren't going to listen to you. And Isaiah, when you preach, their hearts are actually going to become dull and hard. And when you preach, they're going to reject the truth. It's not really the recruiting pitch for a go out and share the gospel today, is it? Kids, students, is there anything in your life where that would be the recruiting pitch? Go do this and you were going to fail the whole time, at least from a human perspective. That's not how we think. That's not how we talk. We don't typically say to others, go study God's word, and I want you to share it with others, and when you do, you're going to be rejected. None are going to come to you. And actually, when you share it, the people in the place where you're living are going to reject you. Your ministry, if you have a ministry, is going to shrink and die. You're going to get no recognition. No one will ever know who you are. And in the end, you may think it was all a waste of time. Who's excited? Right? Or in our context, in your day-to-day, when you study God's word, God says he wants us to apply it to our lives. Let it convict us. Have our lives changed by it. He says, I want you to live by the truth of the gospel. I want you to follow what I say is good for you. And when you do, you're going to suffer for it. And when you do, people are going to reject you. Maybe even in your own family. And when you do, you're going to be called to walk through really hard things. I'll be with you, but it's going to be hard. Not many of us think in those moments, okay, sign me up. But that's what Isaiah did. And Jesus is showing those Isaiah was preaching to did not hear. And as Jesus uses the parables, he's showing that the people in his day were not hearing and they were rejecting. And he's saying that not all who fail to humbly turn to him, in our human responsibility, we are rejecting the truth of God. Jesus says that because he's already been teaching. He's already been teaching, and Jesus has already been performing miracles. Remember, we're in Matthew 13, we're already into his ministry. He's already been teaching. He's already been performing miracles. He's been doing signs of his kingdom. And do you remember what happened as that was going on? They kept saying, well, we need a little bit more, Jesus. We need to see a little bit more to believe you. There were teachers and leaders that came from Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. You're like, okay, great. What are those cities? Those are the places where Jesus did most of his ministry, where he had already been moving and working, right? And these people are coming there. He's been doing all that stuff. And they say, Jesus, give us another sign. Give us another sign and so that we can believe what you're doing. You remember what Jesus tells them there? Some of you will, but I'll share it with us. Jesus, again, paraphrase, says, you have been blessed by so much by the Messiah being here among you. And he says, but I'll tell you, if the mighty things that I have done so far, the miracles, the signs, the healings, if those things were done in that have been done in you had been done in Sodom, Sodom would have remained to this day. Do you remember what Sodom is? Sodom is a place in Genesis that was full of evil. It's considered the most evil place, city, and God wiped it out. And he's saying if these miracles, these signs have been done in his day, or the signs that were done in his day had been done in Sodom, they would have believed. And yet, these people would not turn. Jesus says, you have what you need. The issue is not seeing more signs. You've rejected the truth because you won't turn, and you won't turn. Another way of saying it is this, that repeated exposure to God's word, when you don't believe it, when you continue to reject it, when your heart is not soft to Jesus and you're not asking him to soften it, when you don't respond in faith to him, your heart can actually become more hard to Jesus than soft. It doesn't create neutrality. And let me also say, it's not about our earthly wisdom. It's not about how smart we are. That's not the block here, right? And he says in Matthew 11:25, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise. Remember who it says he gives it to? But you have revealed these things to little children. God sometimes hides truth from those who think they are wise, who think they are smart. He hides sometimes from the self-righteous, from the arrogant, from those who don't think they need Jesus. But who does he reveal it to? He reveals it to those who are humble and in childlike faith. Say, I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you. Lord, give me ears to hear. Are we saying, I need you, Jesus? Lord, give me ears to hear. Now let's go back to the disciples. Let's go back to those who are followers of Jesus, because we can get so caught up in struggling with the hard teaching of Jesus here that we can miss a very, very beautiful truth for those who come to faith in him. For those who realize God's rule, for those who submit to God's reign in our lives. Because those who are submitting to him, who are realizing who he is, those who are turning to Jesus, we're going to continue to be humbled as well, but it's going to look a little bit different. And that's the second group here. Some will be humbled because they recognize God's grace in their lives. Again, verse 11. Disciples say, why are you teaching in parables? Verse 11, Jesus says, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Why did the disciples believe when so many others didn't? The answer is because they had been given the grace and the mercy of God. They have been given the grace and the mercy of God. They have been given the gospel, the secrets to the kingdom, and they heard it and believed it. But notice something. It was given. It was a gift. Jesus saying that when we grasp a spiritual truth, it is a gift of God. It's not because, again, we're more intelligent than others. It's not because we're smarter, we're more discerning and wise, or any of those things. And I'm not telling you not to be wise. I'm not telling you I'm going to intentionally go out here and just be as dumb as I can be. That's not what we're saying. But he's saying our intelligence, the things we think we can figure out on our own, those aren't the reasons that we have his grace and mercy. When our hearts resonate with what Jesus says, it's because the Holy Spirit has opened our heart to grab hold of it and to believe. It is a work of God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit when we hear this message. And y'all, that means there's nothing to brag about. It means that our bragging, our boasting, this may sound familiar language, our bragging, our boasting is to be in Jesus and Him alone, in Christ and Him alone. This is why the disciples heard Jesus when others were deaf to the words of Jesus. And He says to them, verse 16 and 17, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and didn't see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, they are foolishness to him, and he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. What Jesus is saying then is that the parables are sovereignly used to open the ears, eyes and ears of those who humbly come to Jesus. And they're sovereignly used to close the eyes and ears of those who reject him, who have proud hearts, who persist in ignoring him, rejecting him, and running from him. And so I want to ask you today, will you pray, "Lord, give me ears to hear. Please humble me before you that I might respond to Jesus." And so, when you hear that, you may be coming at it from several different places. If you've never turned to Jesus before in your heart and life, turn to him for the first time today. If there is any desire in you at all, it's from him. Trust that. Turn to him. Ask him to give you the desire to repent of your sin. Acknowledge your need for him to save you from your sin. Ask him to lead and guide your life, giving you his presence and his strength to follow what he says is good and right for you. Others today, maybe you just feel like you've been wandering off. Turn back to Jesus. Repent. Ask for a soft heart once again. Ask for open eyes. Ask for open ears and humbly turn to him and submit to him again today. And then there's others who, what you need to do today, which you're like, "Lord, Tim, I'm in a great place with the Lord right now. Things are good." And that is exciting because you're the ones who are going to share it with other people. And I want to encourage you to humbly thank God today for his grace, which has enabled you to see Jesus. Please, every day, if you are a follower of Jesus, start the day humbly, "Lord, I want to thank you." This isn't a hard assignment, okay? Humbly, "Lord, I want to come and I want to thank you for your grace and your mercy through Jesus." Start there. Thank you for the grace that's enabled you to know him, we say, that's helping us grow in him, helping us bear fruit. Don't brag about it. Instead, point others to what he's done. Surrender to him. As we do, he does the work. And in union with Jesus, we bear fruit. For apart from him, we can do nothing. So be humble. And what's beautiful of this in the kingdom of God, as you do so, we will see glimpses of his kingdom. You'll see glimpses of his kingdom come shining in your marriage, in your family. You'll see glimpses of his kingdom shining in the world around you. But humbly keep coming to him. Surrender to him. Then we can rejoice and celebrate. We can continue to be open and ask God to continue teaching our hearts. So let me go back to the prayer on the screen. Lord, give me ears to hear. Please humble me before you that I might respond to Jesus today. As we prepare for the Lord's table, I invite you, pray that prayer, repent of the things he shows you where you're not doing this, and we'll come to the table in just a moment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we pray this, and Lord, as you show us our sin, Lord, we thank you that when we come to you through your work, through what you have done, Lord, we have this assurance from your word that as we come to you and turn to you, that is, then as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. And so, Lord, we pray that as we come to this table, you would continue to minister that grace and that truth into our hearts and lives. Minister it as we receive it from you. Minister it as we proclaim it to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.